Thank you, Francis and Chris and Jeremy. Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's good to see you all. It's good to be here. We're midway through our autumn sermon series looking at the heart. Last week, we looked at the generous heart. This week, we're looking at the exposed heart from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which I'm going to read now. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Before we delve into God's word and explore those two verses, a quick reminder of what the heart is. So according to the Bible, the heart is our hidden innermost self. It's where our deepest hopes, desires, commitments, and loves are found. It's been described as the house of who we are and the seat of what we trust the most. Now, verse 12 begins, for the word of God is. So the focus is all about God's word. Now, what is God's word? Well, it's God's voice, the words he speaks, powerful words, they brought creation into being. The word of God is Jesus, as we sung at the very beginning. Jesus spoke, lived, expressed God. And the word of God is the words that God inspired to be written down and preserved for us to read, i.e. the word of God is the Bible. We now know how many words there are in the Bible. But it's an amazing book, so I just want to spend a few moments thinking about the Bible as a book, as a literary piece. First of all, the Bible was written in three different languages, on three different continents, over a period of 1,400 years, by 40 different authors, and yet it maintains a consistent, coherent, unified message. Now, if you think about it, that's staggering. Imagine if a political party manifesto was written in the same way. Do you think it would make sense? Do you think it would all hang together, have a storyline that made sense from beginning to end? That gives us a strong clue as to the origin of the Word of God, doesn't it? A supernatural origin, God himself. The Word of God is a library of books, 66 of them, with loads of different literary genres, including satire, comedy, lament, romantic poetry, letters, historical narrative, biography, philosophy. It's a library of books with all sorts of different types of literature in there. It's also the most translated book of all time. There's a list here comparing the Bible to some other most translated books in the world. And you can see it's just way above everything else. 670 different languages the whole Bible has been translated into. And you can see the massive amount of other languages that parts of the Bible have been translated to. The other most translated books don't really come close. Also, the Bible is the world's best-selling book. According to Guinness World Records, there have been round about 5 billion copies of the Bible produced and sold since the printing press was first made. That's stunning, isn't it? 5 billion, that's so much. That's just huge. So the Bible is an amazing, amazing book. But there's something even more amazing about the Bible. It's alive. It's alive. It's not a dry, dusty, dated, dead tome rotting away in the basement of some museum somewhere. It's a spiritually living, dynamic, potent voice. How do I know this? Well, because it says so, but also because of my experience. When I read the Bible, I sense God speaking to me. When I read the Bible, I hear God's voice, not with my ears, but with my soul. I've read many books, but none of them speak to me as powerfully and potently as the Bible does. And the Bible is active. It's not passive, static, inert. It does stuff to you. It alters you. It produces the result that God intends for your life. It's transformational. And it has power, power to help you, power to save you, power to rescue you, power to remake you on a profoundly deep level. It has power that no other word, no other book has. And it's also sharp, sharper than a double-edged sword. Now, it's very likely that the sword that Paul had in mind when he was writing this, or the author of Hebrews had in mind when he was writing this, was the Roman gladius sword, used by Roman soldiers. That was the sharpest sword around in that time. And this is a bit gross, but it was designed to penetrate right to the internal organs. It was extremely sharp. It cut deep. But the Bible can cut deeper still. In fact, the Bible penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How deep is that? Now, don't get confused between distinctions between the soul and the spirit. They're used interchangeably in the Bible. They both refer to the invisible us, the spiritual self which lives forever. What the author is doing here, his intention, is he's describing the power of God's word to pierce the hidden depths of the inner life. He's saying God's word penetrates to the deepest part of our spiritual being, just like a very sharp sword cuts through joints and cuts through even into the marrow. And this intention is portrayed really well by how the Living Bible and the Message Bible render this verse. Let's look at the Living Bible first of all. For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are. That captures the essence of what the author's intending. The Message Bible, likewise, is a really good rendering. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. That's what the word does. It cuts deep into us. God's word also judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So God's word reaches the heart, gets to the heart of the matter, gets to the center of us, opens the door of the house of who we are. This word judges really means discerns. It's God's word is able to make a judgment about what's right or wrong with our hearts, what's good and bad in our hearts. So rather than dealing with kind of religious externals, periphery matters, it detects the true thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It has that ability, has that power. Because here's the thing, sin lies to us all the time. And the only way to see whether our hearts have fallen for the lies of sin is for God's word to expose our hearts, to teach our hearts, to compare the lies which our hearts might be believing with the truth of God. You know those TV detective dramas? The detective has a suspicion. He goes to the house. He goes to a certain room. He looks around. The room is pristine. It's all neat and tidy. Everything in its place, all clean. But he gets out one of these special torches with UV light or light that shines on a different wavelength, and he shines it around, and it exposes on the floor that looks really clean. Actually, there's been a pool of blood that's been wiped up. Something has been going on here. There's been an attempt to hide the awful thing that's gone on. God's word is like that light, that torch. Just as nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, just as everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, God's word lays us bare, as we sung. As we read it, it exposes the true state of the inner self. It reveals often stuff that we'd rather keep hidden, that we'd rather not think about. It shines this powerful light, this searchlight, into the depths of our hearts. The Word of God is amazing. Look at all the things it does. It's incredible, isn't it? It's alive, it's active, it's sharp, it's penetrating, it's dividing, it judges, it discerns, it sees everything, it uncovers, it lays bare, it reaches the heart. That's the incredible, amazing Word of God. And that's why we should read it. Are you reading it? Are you studying it? Are you embracing it? Are you searching it? Are you looking at it? You know, as your pastor, my heart's desire for you is that you read God's word, because then you're interacting with the living God, and your heart will be laid bare. And although that will be painful, it's actually the best thing that can happen to us, because it's the first step to us acknowledging we might have a problem, and then God's power entering into our hearts and repairing whatever's flawed in our hearts. You know, there's a million other good books that you could read, and I'm sure they would be of benefit to you, but none of them is living and active. None of them has the heart-penetrating power that the Bible has. The Bible is the only book in all of the world that has this ability to open up what we're like deep inside, and then to give us the tools to address what we see there. The Bible is the only book that has that kind of ability. And you know, if we don't read the Bible, what will happen to us is this. We'll start a long, slow drift into self-centeredness, into hard-heartedness, into self-deception. That's inevitable if we don't read the Bible. I want to share with you now a quote from John Piper, a famous pastor in America. I was reading one of his sermons on this passage from Hebrews, and it was really powerful, this particular bit, what he said. It really made me sit up and listen, so I'm going to read you this quote. He says, "The word of God rips the pleasant mask off the ugly face of sin. Sin whispers through the desires of the flesh and the rationalizations of the mind. It whispers that you will not have a chance in the future if you don't cheat on this test. It says that you won't be noticed and liked if you don't dress provocatively. It says you won't have job security if you speak up about the dishonest practices at work. It says your life will be wasted in this relationship if you don't get a divorce. It says that only a fool would go on looking weak instead of getting some kind of revenge." Sin whispers all these untruths into our hearts, and the Word of God rescues us from the deception of sin. Nothing else can. Nothing else has the power to do that. And for that reason, the Word of God is what people who are not Christians need. We as Christians need the Word of God, but non-Christians do as well, because they need the state of their hearts exposing, and they need God's rescue plan laid out before them, explained as only the Word of God can. So we, if we're Christians in this room, we must do our utmost to help people who are not Christians read and study and listen to and understand what the Bible says, what the main themes of the Bible are, what it's all about, who it's all about, what we need to do to respond to it, and so on. That's the imperative for us that comes out of this passage from Hebrews. We mustn't we? Because the Bible is the only thing that can help non-Christians on that profound, eternal, deep heart level. We're going to listen to now a true story from Nicky Gumbel about a couple whose lives were totally changed and hearts were changed by the word of God. Mark Oliver, one of our elders, he played this audio clip to us at the elders meeting on Tuesday. It was really wonderful. It's a lovely story. So I'm going to play the audio clip to you now and just listen to what happened to this man and this woman after they heard and read the word of God. Story, isn't it? From using the Bible to roll joints to then being radically changed and leading someone else to Christ and marrying them and starting off a new life. Non-Christians need the word of God. Our job is to help them discover for themselves the word of God by inviting them to events, by saying, do you want to read the Bible, by sharing with them and so on. So let's do that so that the same effect that couple in that clip from Nicky Gumbel, maybe not involving joints or whatever, but that same effect can be had on people who don't yet know God and haven't got faith in Christ. Well, at this point, I just want to say this. Sometimes all this talk of our hearts being exposed by the Word of God, it can be a bit scary and a bit negative, it can sound. Because I don't think anyone particularly enjoys having their heart exposed, do they? We don't like often facing up to the attitudes and thoughts that are really in our hearts. I mean, no one likes being called a sinner. No one likes being told that they're wrong. And all this sort of talk of what the Word of God does can be a bit off-putting. But you know what? Hebrews chapter 4 ends like this. This is verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Twice in this verse, grace is mentioned. Grace is God's generous, huge love to people who don't deserve it. And God's grace to us means safety. God's word does show us that we're not perfect. It does expose our failures and so on. But because we're safe in the love of Jesus and in his righteousness that's been counted as ours, we can bear the truth. We can cope with the truth. God's word does expose our sin, but God's word also tells us of his love for us and that he doesn't stand in condemnation over us anymore because Jesus has been condemned. And that's how we cope with all this exposure. We are more sinful than we ever realized, for sure. But we read God's word and we also discover that we're more loved than we ever dreamed. And that allows us to go to the word. And yes, it might be painful, but we can bear that pain and deal with it because we're safe in God's grace. Here's a wonderful quote from Brennan Manning. I love this quote. He has made, this is Jesus has made his pierced heart a safe place for every defeated cynic, hopeless sinner, and self-loathing derelict across the bands of time. Do you feel like that? Do you feel you're a defeated cynic? Do you loathe yourself sometimes? Do you feel hopeless because of your sin? Well, if you do, Jesus has made himself a safe place because his heart was pierced. We can bear the load of our hearts being exposed. So let's read the Bible, knowing that it might be painful, but knowing that we're safe in God's acceptance, won for us by our hero Saviour. Now, as we finish, I want to give you a few recommendations and resources just to help to facilitate reading the Bible. So first of all, there's this website called The Bible Project. It's really, really helpful because it has lots of really high quality videos with beautiful kind of animations giving an overview of each Bible book and of the major themes of the Bible. So if you're tackling a book, especially a difficult book, maybe Leviticus or something, and you're like, oh dear, and you're getting lost in all the detail, one of these videos helps you see the thrust of the whole book. Really, really helpful. Especially if you're a visual learner. Really, really good to accompany your Bible reading. TheBible.is. It's the Bible read. You can read the Bible online, or it exists as an app. But it also exists in dramatized audio, which is fantastic. Sometimes I get voices in my head, and the voices are voices of worry, voices of fear, voices of anger, voices of lust, and they seem to crowd into my mind. And so I clamp on my headphones sometimes and listen to God's voice, and it pushes down all those other voices and kicks them out of my head and gets me back to where I should be. And I use the Bible.is and the app on my phone for doing that. Really recommend that. It also has links to the Jesus film, so it can be a really visually immersive experience when you use that. Another resource is Explore Bible Reading Notes. You can buy booklets. Actually, there's one of them here on this table. It comes in booklet format, but it also comes as an app. It's really helpful to take a book of the Bible, read through it. It has helpful notes and questions to get you thinking as well. And this company, thegoodbook.co.uk, has loads of resources for all ages to help you read the Bible and discover it. Loads of good stuff there. That audio clip that I played to you earlier comes from this website, which is also an app, The Bible in 1 Year, with commentary by Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. That's very, very helpful. If you're not online, then I would encourage you, I've put on here, on this table, a load of study guides to help you read the Bible. I've simply taken them from the library, the little prayer room next to the kitchen, through there. Feel free to take one and borrow it for as long as you need, just to help you read the Bible. If you're not a Christian, we've got something called Uncover, which is a really good starting point to discover the Bible for yourself. If your Bible reading has kind of died a death and faded away, and you want to restart, I recommend this. The Word for Today. It's really good, just a small portion of the Word, a little helpful comment. It only takes 5 minutes. It's better to do 5 minutes a day than nothing at all, isn't it? It'll get you back on track. So read the Bible. If you're struggling as well, I recommend reading it with someone. I'd be happy to read the Bible with you, study it, or help you find someone. You can just sit down, let's do this together. Doing stuff together, it's much easier, isn't it, than on your own. So let's read it, church. But however we read it, let's read it. Because it's this power. It's active. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates deep to soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart.